So if we could make a souvenir out of this shoe and open a store on the busy street in downtown Savannah and capture some of those tourists, then, you know, maybe it'll work. And of course, I opened the doors and no one came. And so, you know, I'm just sitting there going, I've got to sell a shoe.
Running a creative retail business really shouldn't be so hard. I'm Wendy Batten, and this is the Creative Shop Talk podcast. Hey there, retailers, and welcome to the Creative Shop Talk podcast. I am so excited today. I get to bring you an incredible guest, our first guest on the Creative Shop Talk podcast, and her name is Neely Powell. I invited Neely on because I first heard her story, and I just love her story. I can't explain it to you. I know that my retailers out there will resonate with her creativity on marketing, her values, how she treats her customers. I just, on so many levels, on how she has grown her shops and all across the country, it's amazing. If you don't know, Neely Powell is the founder of the Charleston Shoe Company. Her shop story really is incredible. It's very inspirational, and I think there's a lot of encouragement from learning through her journey. Her shoe business started from the big furniture markets, and that's where she was selling shoes to women with uncomfortable shoes on. Anybody else relate to that? Know what I'm talking about? It all started with her first store in Savannah in April of 2010. She borrowed her first and last month's rent from her mother. Anybody else relate to that as well too? By July of that same year, she opened her second store on King Street in Charleston. She now has over 26 stores, guys. She also sells her product wholesale in over 300 boutiques. Her stores are incredible. It's really, really impressive because she did this with a very little marketing budget. She does it on hard work and grit, a baby on her hip when she started, and she didn't have a lot of employees and whatnot when she first started. So I really, I want you to pay attention and listen in to what she shares with us about store size. It's really surprising. What she shares with us about the atmosphere and the importance of that inside your store and her theory on that, and how she's so creative with her marketing. And the one way that I just think is just so creative and fun. And I hope that you'll resonate with that as well too. Now, listen up. I recorded this episode with Neely long before Christmas. And truthfully, I wasn't really set up properly. So please excuse the audio quality. I'm not perfect. Perfectly imperfect, kind of how we roll around here. So bear with me. I really wanted to share Neely's successful retail story with you, and let's get to it. Thank you for being here. So my retailers are all creative shop owners. They are independent store owners, very similar to you, who started on a passion and a wing and a prayer. I always say they're accidental entrepreneurs. I know you come from an entrepreneurial background. Well, your parents were both entrepreneurs. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes.
Yeah. So you had that spirit, and I know a lot of my retailers do. And again, we call ourselves accidental entrepreneurs, kind of coming from a place of passion of what we love.
Accidental too. I just kind of.
I love the story about you were at the market. Your mom was, you're selling furniture with your mom, and you were at the wholesale market where a lot of my retailers are. And they go to those markets, and so they completely understand. Would you mind sharing a little tiny bit about how you ended up selling shoes at the market?
Sure, of course. So she makes all of her furniture in Mexico and has for 25 years. And, you know, we had both bought these super comfortable shoes that were made in the same town for people walking on cobblestone streets. And I'd go to markets with my mother and notice obviously everyone is, you know, walking 30,000 steps a day. And, you know, there was just this need for comfortable, classic, you know, great looking shoes that they could wear all day during the market and then go out to dinner, because we all know just after that long day that, you know, all you want to do is go to dinner and then go straight to your hotel room. So we started selling these shoes out from underneath her tables. And every time I'd come back to market, people would be like, did you bring the shoes, the shoe lady? But, you know, and they'd just come kind of like Pied Piper, like everyone would bring people into the booth to try on these shoes. And it was in those early days, it was like Filene's basement. Like I was just making a mess in these booths while my mother's trying to write an order for Neiman Marcus and I'm, you know, creating just a shoe havoc and frenzy all over her beautiful furniture booth. So that was, those were the beginning days out of the trunk of my car, you know, going to markets and selling that way.
A lot of my retailers, you know, they have this dream, this passion, they're doing something, you know, that they love doing, they have passion for, they see a potential in it.
Right.
And how did you decide to open the storefront? Because big box stores and downcline and everybody's like, oh, retail is dead and all that stuff. How did you make that decision to just do it?
Well, it wasn't an overnight decision.
No.
I struggled for, you know, at least 10 years selling wholesale, which was hard because the margins are hard and just that booth life is difficult. You know,
right.
Going to the Atlanta gift show 8 times a year, going to New York, going to High Point, going to Dallas. And I didn't make any money because there were so many mistakes within the factory. And it was, you know, I did it for my customers because every year they'd come to the show and they wanted me to bring the shoes. And so I did. But my daughter was a year old and I decided to go back to school and take shoe design. So I enrolled in every shoe class, accessory class they had at SCAD. And I moved away from Memphis where I was living and took her and enrolled in SCAD. And halfway through my course, I realized there's this incredible town, Savannah, with 14 million tourists a year. And at the time they were all coming to, you know, go see Paula Deen and they were just coming in busloads. And it dawned on me, what an amazing souvenir to have a practical, comfortable, travel happy shoe, as opposed to everything that I was learning in shoe design, you know, fashion forward, all this stuff. So if we could make a souvenir out of this shoe and open a store on the busy street in downtown Savannah and capture some of those tourists, then, you know, maybe it'll work. And of course, I opened the doors and no one came. And so, you know, I'm just sitting there going, I've got to sell a shoe. So I decided to put on two different shoes and stand in front of my store on the street. And every person that walked by, you know, either made them feel highly uncomfortable or they felt sorry for me and they came in anyway. And every time I'd sell a shoe, I'd go, oh, I can pay my electricity bill today, or I can pay my water bill, or I can pay for daycare, or, you know, and so it was just a gradual one shoe at a time making it work. But, you know, it was definitely a leap, but I didn't really think about failing. I just thought about this fun opportunity and what we could, you know, accomplish. So.
Yeah. So, well, you believed in your product. You had a great product.
Right.
I mean, you had a product that was you already knew from your women that were hoarding at, you know, all the wholesale years or whatever. But so, and I do feel like that's what makes my retailers that would be listening right now. We're passionate. We're furniture painters. We're creatives that are opening brick and mortar. I have seamstresses and, you know, all kinds of different shops. And that's really, they're passionate about it, but and they just want to share that with everybody. So I love, love, love that you did the two shoe thing. I mean, I think that's amazing. I think it's a way to stand out. It's a way to be remarkable. It's a way to like get people's attention, right? And which is what we have to do. We joke right. And say we do what we have to do to get people in the door. But once they're in the door, it's our jobs to sort of make sure that they fall in love with our products and, you know, yeah. see our passion. And I see that in your stores and with your people. And I know part of your story is, and part of how you do business or how you started was referrals, right? So word of mouth. And yeah, can you speak a little bit to that and how that worked for your business?
Sure. And, you know, to your point, yes, if we're in retail, obviously we love to sell and we're good at it. But, you know, on the alternative side too, I, you know, I'm very blessed that I have a comfortable, well-made, amazing product that is not only magically comfortable, but magically attractive on the foot. And so, you know, not only was this marketing scheme to wear two different shoes so that you see the shoe on the foot, but also, you know, so many times I'd have women that come in my store and they'd try on a shoe and they'd say, this is so much more comfortable. I'm just going to wear it out. And I want to promote that as much as possible. You know, it's like when we were growing up and we go to the like stride right with our grandparents and we wanted to wear that red shoe out. Right. So, but what it did for me was those women would leave the store and they'd walk down the street and people just are mesmerized for whatever reason, this magical, stylistic, you know, impression that it leaves on people, and people would be stopped in the street or, you know, they'd be at a restaurant and sitting at a bar and some stranger would comment on their shoe or they would start talking about how comfortable it is and let, you know, this stranger try on shoes. And the word of mouth was just, you know, viral. I didn't advertise. I didn't have any money to advertise. And I thought that all of these people, what amazing, authentic advertising is that referral. And luckily I had incredible customers that believed in my product as well because they're wearing it and seeing it. And the stories that still come through to this day of people being stopped at, you know, security at the airport or a bunch of different people that didn't know each other in an elevator that all have the same shoes on. You know, I mean, they're dozens weekly. So it's the word of mouth is amazing. And I think if anyone's lucky enough to have that, it's as authentic as it comes and it works more than anything.
Yeah. I love that. And I mean, this is all pre like Facebook and right. Instagram. Yeah. I mean, this is like, yeah. So this 2010, is that when you opened your first store? Yeah. I just think it's amazing. I mean, again, a lot of my retailers have this passion for their products and they do have great product. The same thing. It's like they're painting maybe very unique pieces of furniture and they bring it to somebody else's, they bring it home and then somebody else sees it and it just, you know, I want what she has. And it's just this great word of mouth. I mean, we have the benefit a little bit more of social media and that type of thing now. But again, no marketing budget for a lot of retailers going in. Again, it's being remarkable and having customers love it. I know you're also very, your store atmosphere was very important to you as well too, right? You had like really important, and you were by yourself, were you not, when you first started? Yeah. You didn't have an employee.
Yeah, no.
that's where a lot of my retailers, you know, they are, or I mean, we have some that are, they're growing their teams and stuff, but starting out fresh, you know, green, you know, passions, everything, you can do anything with passion at first, right? So, you know, you can do anything at passion at first, but getting the customers in the store and falling in love with your product. But can you speak a little bit to the importance of a store atmosphere as well? Like what happened inside your store?
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, I think the first impression is always so important. And I always say to everyone, or a customer doesn't need to come in and you don't just need to say, hi, how are you? You know, what can I help you with? We have to immediately get in these points. And so by wearing two different shoes and setting that customer at ease and making them either laugh or say something like, did you know you're wearing two different shoes? Or, you know, it just sets them at ease. It makes them feel comfortable. It doesn't feel stuffy or, you know, pretentious. And so I think that initial vibe from that person and then saying, do you know about the Charleston Shoe Company? You know, they're comfortable, they're machine washable, and that's it. You know, it's very simple to start that engagement with the customer. And, you know, having music in the store, I think is so important. And I merchandise a lot. I mean, a lot of our accessories are amazing. We try to keep them all under $100, which is awesome. But they help with that. It doesn't look, you know, just shoes is sometimes hard to convey. So having great accessories and other fun merchandising aspects in there. I also love a small store because there it creates this amazing authenticity of this buzz that the store is super busy, even if it's not. Yeah. And so, you know, I have a 2,800 square foot store in Naples. Well, I only use 800 of it for retail. Wow. And everyone in the retail world would think I was insane because you want to maximize all that space for your selling capability. But I really think the atmosphere that you're creating in that store. You know, we like to say you're walking into your best friend's shoe closet, or we're having a shoe party. And by making that store smaller and more intimate, it creates that immediate impression. And I think that's a huge thing as far as the you know, interior of the store and what you're trying to convey.
I just love that. That's really like inviting them into your shoe closet. I love that. That's so great. And I should say you have 26 stores. Is that correct now?
26 or seven.
20, yeah. So many. Just less an extra one. I know. That's just another one. So I'm actually going to your Naples store in
March. Oh, you are?
I'm very excited. Yes.
My third store. So it's a great store.
Very excited to get
there. You'll see how we like put up a false wall. That store goes on forever, and then I sublet part of the store next door to someone else, just because I didn't want that big, you know, vacant space. I want it to feel comfortable, and I want you to engage with the customer. I want my manager and my sales associate to engage with them. They can shop anywhere. They can go anywhere and buy shoes. They can sit at home online. And really what we try to do, and why we have so many brick and mortar in this, specifically in this climate of retail where everyone's shopping on the internet, you know, we want that lifestyle. We want people to get out and shop like they did, you know, with their grandparents, where it was an adventure. It was a, you know, it was a day of going to lunch with your friends or your family, and then going into our shop and experiencing something that, you know, that you don't normally do really over the past 10, 15, 20 years of retail, that it's declined and things that the climate has just changed there. So we, you know, we're trying to get people back into that experience, because that time, as opposed to being on, you know, on the internet and on, you know, shopping online, is so much more valuable, the experiences that you can have with your friends and family. So that's what we try to convey.
Yeah. Customer experience is everything to me. And I love that you said that, because that's exactly how I preach. I don't know if I say I preach, but I coach my retailers to the same thing. I think people are not, like, they're not sick. I mean, there's always going to be room for big box and whatever, right. But I love small business too. I love independent. I love going in. I love going to a place where they kind of know me. Like, I know, it's like, it feels special, you know. I mean, who doesn't love that, right? Who doesn't?
Yeah. See me? Like, cheers. We
yeah,
all.
Yeah, yeah. We're dating ourselves there, by the way. So it is so true. It's all about customer experience. And again, I love that you keep the store small and intimate. And can you speak a little bit to going back to when you just had the first stores, and, you know, I know you have so many now, and I'm sure you have a big team and, you know, and everything, but when you first started, you were doing everything just I feel like as an entrepreneur, as a retailer, you just, like, you're learning all the things. You're the plumber, you're the IT guy, you're the, you know, you're everything, right? It's not for everybody, right? It's not for everybody. And I once heard you mention how doing it all didn't overwhelm you. And I was really interested in how your thoughts on that. Like you said, you just did it. And could you speak a little bit to how you kept the overwhelm of doing it all by yourself before you had your, you know, first help, how you managed all that?
I mean, I think even now, which is even harder than it was just alone.
Right.
I think, you know, at the end of the day, you just have to laugh and you have to enjoy it. And you can't worry about it not getting, I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen as far as, you know, all those little things that you have to get done? You're going to get them done. You will, because you have passion about it and you're excited about it. And this is your baby. This is something that you've created on your own. And, you know, I'm sure I could find a million times that I should be at home, you know, crying, thinking I'm not going to get it done. But I tend to think that, you know, we're doing this so we can enjoy our life. We're doing this not, you know, to sit behind a desk and not fulfill our passion and what we're doing, you know, I mean, that's the journey of it all, right? It's part of the dance and not part of the individual thing that you're trying to accomplish.
That's right. It's about the life we're trying to create in our business, right? So, I mean, yeah, we can choose it to be overwhelming or, and I know something that I've heard you say before, you choose to look at the positive instead of the obstacles or the positive, like it's the only way, right?
I mean, because if not, you'd make yourself crazy. Yeah. I mean, a billion opportunities every day. And that's what I call them, because if it is a problem, it's only going to give us an opportunity to make something in the business better,
right,
and fix something that clearly needed to be fixed, because we wouldn't have a problem if it didn't. So, you know, I love that word, an opportunity, and I will take a million different opportunities every day to try and make things stronger and better and, you know, and still at the same time, try and keep it small so that people do feel like it's a small business and people within the company, you know, our culture seems just, you know, I feel like I'm creating all of my own entrepreneurs in each of their stores. I like to say, this is your store, merchandise it the way you want, decorate it the way you want. You know, I want to create that. You know, we're starting this business together and you own this store. I'm not there. And I want these women to feel inspired beyond shoes. You know, we are creating all these amazing opportunities and allowing women to be able to do this on their own as well. So we just had a big company retreat about 2 weeks ago here, and I brought all of our managers in, and you know, we have it gives them a chance to get away from the monotony of their store every day, but also, you know, bond with all of the other managers. And you know, we have sales training and scavenger hunts and
I saw a little bit of that. It looked like a lot of fun. I would say that one of your top company values must be fun. It's got to be right up there, because I saw wigs. I was following.
You're required to wear wigs. Yes.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I do like, on the franchising note, I franchise my business, my stores as well. And I do love that you let them have any look that they want. Like, I mean, running their own business, because really what you're creating, you have two customers, your internal and your external now, right? You're creating this whole, like one whole group of customers now, or people that you're working with are your franchise owners, right? So I find it very empowering to see how you're doing that and letting them run their own business, because that's what they are doing. If they don't buy into it, they're not working for you, they're working with you, right? So
they're all working with me. I mean, we own all of the stores, so they're not franchises.
Oh, okay, yeah, right.
But I just, in terms of giving that manager the courage and the freedom to be able to run this store, you know, with her two hands and figure that out and be her own entrepreneur and all that as well. So that's, you know, that's what we try.
It's really wonderful. Do you have any advice for my retailers on how to stand out, and any entrepreneurial advice for retailers that you'd like to throw? I don't want to throw you under the bus, but I know you have such great wisdom in that. So,
well, I mean, you know, I think it all goes back to just that trying things over and over and over again. Trying something once is not going to do it. And, you know, in this world of instant gratification and overnight success and all that, you know, I mean, I love to say I'm a 22-year overnight success, because it didn't all happen yesterday. And I have reinvented the wheel more times than I'd like to count. And, you know, anytime that an opportunity happens, you just have to pick back up and try it a different way until it works and it clicks. And I think that's just it. If you love what you're doing and you're passionate about what you're doing, then, you know, that drive to keep doing it and do it in different ways is always important.
Yeah, that's great. Do you have time for a couple of quick lightning round questions?
Sure.
As we wrap up, because I promised I would keep it short because I know your time is so valuable. Okay, what is your favorite thing, your number one favorite thing about being in a retail business, like in the store? What do you love
in the store? It's my favorite place. I mean, I just went at 27 stores and I just went to Southampton to open that store in May or in June and July. And I mean, there's nothing I love more than retailing. This, you know, I like to say that I was demoted to CEO from in Nantucket because I love interacting with customers. I love building those relationships. And there, so many of them are my friends, and I've become friends with them that way. You know, they'll send me text messages from a wedding with them and other people with the shoes on. And I think those relationships are what not only retail is about, but what life's about. And so, you know, if you can also have a business doing whatever, you know, selling whatever you're selling and retailing, and the bonuses that you get to build relationships with your customers, how, I mean, that's an amazing life.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing too. I actually miss being in the store every day. I really do. I really miss it. I mean, I still do and I still get to go, but I mean, I've been invited to weddings and I like, you know, watch people's babies, right? Like, you know, their daughters have come into the store and then gotten married. And yeah, I love that too. That's it. That is what it's all about in my opinion. And serving them the right product, like, you know, the greatest shoes that they feel great in, right? They walk out of the store feeling great. I love when I can serve them the right product and they're happy and, you know, it lights me up. So, and I see it lights you up too as well. Yeah. I love being in the store
too. The other great thing for me is to connect with that customer and hear what they need. I mean, that's the madness behind the method, or the method behind the madness of designing shoes, you know, because I'm not designing such fashion forward, just on the cusp of whatever. We're really creating things for real women that have real problems with their feet or that just want something specific. And if I don't work in the store and I don't interact with that customer, you know, I don't know what they need and what they want. So that's important too.
Right. Yeah. So putting yourself back into the day to day, because you see, right. And you can hear, because we can, you know, you could be designing shoes up here, right. And it's like assuming, right. So, yeah.
I mean, assuming I like it, but yeah. I'm not, you know, there are a million different feet out there.
So. Right. Next question. Have you ever painted anything or upcycled anything? Has that ever been part of your world? Like maybe back in the day?
Yeah. In my old pre-shoes, or actually during shoes, I painted. I had art shows every year, you know, 4 or 5 art shows a year. And so that painting supported me more than the shoes did for all through my 20s.
Oh, I love that. And I did not know that. So.
Yeah. Art major. Yeah.
So I love that. I did not know that. What's the hottest color shoe trend right now?
Hottest color. Well, pattern, I think, would be camo. And I still love the classic coral because I think it's a neutral without being a neutral. And our coral is like this sumptuous kind of rusty terracotta-y red. And I think it goes with everything and it's all year. That's just my opinion.
Wow. I love that. So thank you so much. You're like, it's so special. You're special. It's special that you're here. I'm sure you're going to inspire all my retailers to just look past the obstacles and, you know, look at them as opportunities. That's the new word everybody listens to. Like, no more obstacles, only opportunities, right? To keep going at it. And we can all get through that. And strive to be excellent at customer service. So thank you so much for being here. I super appreciate it.
Yeah, so
very, very grateful. And I think that everybody should instill wearing wigs to company corporate events because that
all the time
looks awesome. That was super fun.
So. And wigs.
Thank you so much, Neely. I appreciate your time. And
have fun in Naples. Tell Debbie I said hi.
I will totally tell Debbie you'll say hi. She's going to have a great shoe day that day. So great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
thanks for joining me today. I know how precious your time is, and I'm so appreciate you taking time out of your crazy day to be here with us. All the links for today's show can be found at wendybatten.com/podcast. We'd also like to invite you to come over and continue the conversation over on my free Facebook group. It's called Rockstar Creatives. I'm going to be popping in there live every week to continue the conversation, talk a little bit about what we spoke about today. And I'd love for you to join us over there, Rockstar Creatives on Facebook. I'd also love to ask, if it's not too much trouble, if you could leave me a review and let me know what you think of the podcast. If you're loving the show, be sure that you're subscribing to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. I'd hate for you to miss one. It's been such a pleasure to be here with you today. I'll see you next week here on the Creative Shop Talk podcast.